Welcome to the Popcorn Talk Network, for the online broadcast network that features movie discussion, news, and interviews. Press one.
Popcorn Talk. We talk movies.
Let those who worship evil's might beware my power. Green Lantern's light.
From the Popcorn Talk Network, the online broadcast network for movie talk, and the schmoes know, this is DC Movie News, bringing you the most up-to-date discussion and commentary within the DC Universe.
Greetings, fans of the DC Universe. We are those who want to be wanted. Do you want to want us? I am Adam Gertler.
Hey.
I'm Roxy Stryer.
And I'm Roxy's sidekick for the day, Mike Kalinowski.
We're really enjoying, there's a lot of banter, pre-show banter and tension that's going on between Kalinowski and Stryer, and I'm watching it, and it's like a Wimbledon match or something. They're bandying the ball back and forth. And
the score is 40.
Love.
I need Johnny LaCosto back. At Jay Quasto, where you at?
Now I know you didn't want me to sit over there. I want to sit on that side with him, and you're like, no, sit next to me.
I wanted to hold your hand under
guys,
the table.
Guys, I'm alone over here, like I belong. Like life has told me again and again.
Like you're a lone wolf?
I'm a lone wolf. That's just how it happens. Hey, guys. You can tell it's a slow DC new movie news week when we're opening up with a psychological self-examination from the crew of DC Movie News. Thanks for tuning in, checking us out. You're probably confused because we are coming to you live at the normal prescribed time, which is
time.
Atypical. So those of you who've, who've commented that we should be more on time. Adam looks sweaty. Oh, no, I'm not sweaty. I just, you know what it is?
You got the meat sweats.
Can you pause for a second? Our iTunes users have no idea why you just exclaimed, Adam looks sweaty.
He opens up with, I look sweaty? I mean, not even like, hey, it's good to see you. By the way, you'd look better if you were perspiring less. He opens up like that.
Okay, you're talking about our YouTube comments because people are chatting with us live on Popcorn Talk Network.
They're on live.
Oh, my God.
You can watch it right
guys,
now.
Guys. Is this mic sounding like, it sounds like it's breaking. I don't know. Maybe you should turn me down a little bit or something. I'm a loud champ. Person,
maybe
guy.
You should turn yourself down.
Ugh, I don't know how to do that. I never
okay,
have.
In all fairness, we actually do have some news this week because of New York Comic Con, which
like
is exciting.
Week, but maybe because I wasn't here last week, I had to dip out on you guys.
You know, there just wasn't a lot of movie news stuff.
Okay.
I really had to dig to find, like, movie news and rumors. But, yeah, let's start with one thing that kind of ties to an ongoing debate that Mike Kalinowski and I have.
I lost
Desert,
this one already, didn't I?
Desert Batman. We have a picture.
And
let's throw that picture
out.
Up there. Right
Flash
before the Comic Con, when there was a great maquette or a toy of the Desert Batman, it was labeled as Nightmare Batman, leading some people to think, as ScreenRant.com speculated, that this could be Batman having a nightmare, and that's why he's taking down these like Sons of Superman soldiers. It's sort of a round-the-back reference to the Sons of Batman from Dark Knight Returns. What do you think of this? Is this a lame cop-out? Because we've been like racking our brains to figure out, why are these guys kneeling before Superman?
Mm-hmm.
Why is Batman wearing that like crazy costume and snapping people's necks in the desert? Now, if you find out that it is a nightmare, what do you guys think of that?
It makes sense. I didn't want to believe that. I was very much against that when it first came out. The pictures of him, the trailer, Comic-Con, I was like, nah, this is going to be some scene. They're in some desert somewhere.
Right. You said you were already wrong. What did you state?
Because I think we talked about it. Everyone was like, it's a nightmare scene. I was like, no, it's not. It happens for real. So I was like, yeah. But in the scene we saw, he doesn't have the symbol on his chest. But in the toy, he's got the symbol.
Yeah.
And they're spelling nightmare with the K, so they're doing the play on the night.
Sure.
So it's... I don't know.
He's having a dark nightmare.
Yes. So I don't know.
Guys,
but it makes sense because that scene, it just kind of seems to go out of left field with all of that. And
yeah.
So like, where?
Mad Max Batman from the comment section.
Someone made
Mad
an
Max
awesome,
Man.
I saw an awesome poster. They took the Mad Max poster and they put the Batmobile and him in there. And
oh,
it said
that's
Bat
awesome.
Max, and it was really cool.
I think that we have a couple nightmare things going on that we've seen in the trailer. Like, I always said this from day one, that the piece of paper that he has. Remember when
you think that's a nightmare?
I think that he's having nightmares and flashes of things that aren't necessarily real.
I'll tell you. Normally, I'd say, like, you know, nightmares are they're red herrings, but what I do like about that is it just keeps us more confused as to what's actually going on in the film.
Mm-hmm.
And we want to be surprised.
Are we doing something like happened in Man of Steel? Because it's that same world where he had the suit, the black suit on, and the skulls around him talking to Zod. Is it something brought into that kind of world?
Yeah,
where
he was having some kind of freak
nightmare.
Out.
It was like it's a physical manifestation brought into a different realm.
Oh,
like,
right.
This is
like,
what's
going to
happen.
Of, he was sort of drugged.
Is this man, if Superman is given this amount of power, this is what's going to happen? Could it be something like that? Because they established that in Man of Steel.
I think absolutely it
more
could.
Important, guys, am I at all less sweaty right now? There's not much I can do about
the
it.
The Flash
it's just...
podcast said you look good now. So I think you. I think you did
thank
it.
Thank you, guys.
All right, hey.
Yeah, you know, I personally, I think that that would make sense. It doesn't really make me excited or less excited. It doesn't shock me. Like I said, I just want to be guessing for this film. I don't want to know what's going on, and that's what makes me happy.
You're talking about when you watch the film, or
when I watch the film. Like I don't want to know anything. So I love that we keep speculating, but I don't really want to know. I want to be ultimately surprised when I see the movie.
It's borderline for me because, like with Star Wars, I've seen the two teasers and the Comic-Con thing, and everything else I've just completely shut myself off from. So Batman, I'm going into it and kind of like. It's getting closer and closer, and stuff's going to start coming out around Christmas time.
I know,
time,
remember,
so like,
we're still 5 months and 10 days away. By the way, to that end, I've recently talked to King Famous, who some of you might remember, where we did the song about the DC movie universe. We're working on a follow-up song to that right now. All I will say about it is inspired by One Day More from Les Mis. And I'm working on getting like a choir in here. I'm trying to get like 50 people in here to sing. That's okay. The only hang up at this point.
So just so you know, I'm calling BS right now because I've learned that you're full of crap.
BVS you're calling right now?
No,
didn't even
just
BVS?
BS? No, I'm calling just BS after the doggy style stunt
what?
That you pulled.
What?
What? Did I miss this? Doggy style?
You missed the doggy style stunt.
Is this
that
back
you pulled?
To like. Stick it in her and pee?
Yeah. Basically, I let people know that I knew people at the ratings board and said that I knew that PG-13 meant that there was doggy style in the film.
And you believed him?
Oh, she totally believed me. They both did. But Costco did too.
Then you could show that?
Yeah. I was like, no, I have it. In this instance, if they say sensuality, it implies doggy style. Like, yeah, I don't know.
Sensuality in a movie is this.
Oh my god. Guys, it just got really dense.
That's sensuality.
Oh my god, I can't breathe.
Do you want to be left alone, or more importantly, do you mind if I watch from a corner?
This is why I want to sit next to him.
Yes, I do. He likes to watch. So what I'm saying is, this implies to me that Batman is retired at the beginning of the film. Does everybody agree with me on that?
Again with the retirement.
Can I get 100% confirmation? Batman is totally retired at the beginning of Batman v Superman, right?
Fight it out. Go ahead, fight it.
Nope. Nope.
Guys, I want to know in the chat roll, in the comments, who agrees with this pretender over here?
And what I'm saying is he's not retired, but he's not out there in the suit. He is still some form of crime fighting happening in Gotham.
Hey, what do you mean Adam's going to sing again, Hide Your Children? Just wait till I take on the role of Jean Valjean.
I am now. You have to do it. You said it out loud.
Look, I just know. You want to know the first line of the song?
Yes.
Okay, the first line. Oh, God.
Wait, did you think of this on the spot?
No. I was working on this the other day.
He's lying.
See, they tell me to consent with you.
What is it?
Consent.
It's something like 5 months more. 5 months of Batman v Superman mystery, a film we all hope will change film history. This film I know, da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da, 5 months more. How can I ever face Lex Luthor again? No, I don't know. It'll go on for like that. It's going to be good.
Did you know that Adam was a theater major in college?
Was he?
Mm-hmm.
Me too.
Yeah, me
trust
too.
Trust me.
Oh, wow.
This is going to be epic. I have got like,
Moxie.
I've got all these ideas for this song.
Roxy.
I'm saying it now because I need you guys to keep me honest and make it true. Otherwise, King Famous and I will just never finish the song.
I love that name, King Famous.
I thought that was pretty good, just so you know.
What? The opening?
Yeah, I thought it was pretty good.
Oh, no. It's a good song. I really like this idea.
But people keep wanting you to put your stuff on iTunes and you're just denying the fans that right.
I don't know how to do that. That's why. there wasn't a lot of news out of the Comic-Con, but...
We were expecting something.
We were expecting more, but there was...
Bruce Lynn was there, and Melnicker, they were talking about they're going to do a big Batman reveal, and they didn't do anything.
That's right!
That was because a lot of people were on Twitter the day, like, what do you think's going to happen, Mike? And I was like, I think we might get an Affleck standalone announcement, but I think they're being smart and doing an opposite of Marvel, where they're not just like, Marvel, boom, everything's out.
You know what?
We got Batman and Superman... We're going, but with this, this is what we got.
Yeah, I don't think it would have been a good idea to reveal it.
I think it's
at
smart. We wanted it, but it's smart play.
Johnny Roxy would say, swerve.
What, that guy was swerving? Wow.
Yeah, that's
it's not good
said
to tell people.
Big.
It's not good to tell fans that a big announcement is coming and then not have a big announcement because it destroys your credibility. That's not a swerve. That's just like
what's
misleading.
What's better is to say nothing's coming and then to have something huge come.
Yeah. Okay. Exactly. You drop it. Believe me, it's not like the news wouldn't get out. You don't have to say something's coming. There was some cool details about the costumes and from the costume designer. There's a cool featurette. I found it also through Screen Rant, but it's out there. Tiffany Smith is doing it, right? Like,
yeah.
That's the only one we watch with her. Really cool details about Batman's costume, Superman's costume, and Wonder Woman's costume. Basically, regarding Batman, obviously, the mandate from Snyder was that he is hulking, that he's directly inspired from Dark Knight Returns, mm-hmm. that he comes off more massive than Superman, which,
yeah.
you know, is really cool, and it appears to do that. The changes to Superman's costume were subtle, but we've already heard there is this sort of there is Kryptonian glyphs within the symbol, and it kind of there is a message that, when translated from Kryptonian to English, implies the sort of great responsibility that he has on this planet that comes with the power. You know what I mean? So there's some interesting narrative connections with the costume designs. And then Tiffany also asked the costume designer about Wonder Woman's costume, if like her bracelets would deflect
bullets
heat vision,
yeah.
and things like that. And they basically, you know, they were kind of wishy-washy about answering directly, but he did say Diana was immortal and she's been around for a really long time.
Yeah, go watch this video, DC All Access, with Tiffany and with Jason Inman. They did a really good job picking the right questions. And there was some cool stuff about the costumes.
I think this is awesome that the fact that out of the three of them, Superman is the least, like, accurate. Out of the three of them. You would never think that Superman's would be the one that's out of all three. And they look up, they've changed his the most.
That's
out
true.
Of all of them. I think that's fantastic.
What do you mean by accurate?
To the comics, to most of
like,
comics
if you took
lore.
Batman, that where you got the shot of, like, look at that. Okay, there's no briefs, there's no belt. He's got those weird glyph things on his arms. They're just small changes, but... Small ones, whereas Batman and Wonder Woman, that looks like they took the comic
yeah.
and just identified, like, except for Batman doesn't have his brief, but even New 52, he doesn't have the brief, so it's kind of
yeah.
like...
Huh.
Superman out of all three is just, you go, oh, his is the most different from the comic.
He does look more, obviously, he looks like the New 52 Superman, but
right.
I'm glad he doesn't have the collar piece in there.
Yeah,
I can't get around the collar
yeah.
piece.
And the briefs, that doesn't bother me.
You guys feel on the collar piece? I don't know. I really like this costume. I think it looks awesome.
I thought it looked great in the first one.
I agree.
I do too.
Well, there were some changes.
Also, what was going on... there are some rumors surrounding the Flash's costume, as long as we're talking about costumes. This is also from Screen Rant, and the implication here is that perhaps in this new iteration, to separate Flash
like that, yeah.
from the CW Flash, that it would be more of a tech-based Flash costume. Now, that's not right. to say that he gets his powers from a tech source, but the costume might be more tech-based, which kind of lets me believe, well, are they angling this to be sort of like WB's Spider-Man, and
yeah.
that he's like a super tech genius, kind of like Peter Parker making his own web shooters at home, but
okay.
also has powers. And we know the tone of Flash is typically lighter. It's more humorous. It is kind of online with Spider-Man. That's why I just kind of had this idea. What do you guys
yeah.
think of that?
I think it's probably something to have to do with, of course, velocity and the speed. You know, he's got to have something. They thought, okay, we just got to do something different. We've got the Flash on CW, so his suit looks a certain way. We've just got to come up with a design to make it more aerodynamic on him.
I got
to
say, as much as I'm enjoying Jay Garrick on The Flash, I think
we'll
that
get
helmet...
To him, man, I love
we'll
him.
Get to that,
the
but
helmet,
I got to say, like, that helmet, it makes
so
no
goofy.
Sense.
It's so goofy. It's
yeah.
so goofy.
You know what I mean?
Looking.
So at least I would like to see that kind of addressed. And if you look at those costumes we just looked at with Wonder Woman, with Batman, with Superman, it's
right.
going to look like that. It's not just going to be
you
your
put,
classic
put,
Flash
got,
outfit.
That's the picture right there from Injustice. If you put that
right.
with what we've got already, it fits.
It yeah. fits.
Perfectly.
I think this is a really smart idea by them because there are so many comparisons already when we're going Barry Allen to Barry Allen. So I think it's smart. I think it looks awesome. I'll be curious to see what it does.
And also standing next to those three actors, that kid's going to look
tiny.
So he would have to kind of pat himself up and bulk up and stuff to protect
exactly.
what they're going to get.
He's still going to have to do that in general.
And
though.
He's still
going to
look smaller, but he's Flash. I mean, that's
yeah.
he doesn't need
I think
to be bulky.
It's a nice dynamic.
So Roxy, as a mega fan of the Flash TV show, you're this pleases you?
Yeah.
You like this distancing?
I thought something very similar to you about that Spidey
mm-hmm.
kind of comparison. I really, really like the way this looks. But again, it depends what it can do.
Well,
what
also,
cool tricks do we have?
To go off on that Spider-Man tangent again, you know, it kind of, you have the opportunity here, if the Flash is someone who's just getting his powers, maybe we have a, we can be the audience there, we can be the surrogate and like
that's
have
that, into the
that awe in Wonder Woman, because Superman is already so heavy now. He has all this responsibility. Batman couldn't get much darker. Wonder Woman, she's Wonder Woman. The Flash is, this makes me think the Flash is going to be more young, fun, experiencing his powers, loving his powers, having the, you know, enjoyment of all that.
Theo in the chat says maybe his tech suit is to utilize the Speed Force, which is something I wouldn't want. I don't want this suit to be the way that he's able to.
So it's not his physical body. Right. It's the suit he wears that harnesses the Speed Force.
Which I really,
so that he does, he's not actually a metahuman.
Which I really don't want to see.
I hope that's not the case. I hope it's more that just like whenever he runs at super speed, his clothes disintegrate instantly.
I think that would push the fans away.
Doggy style. Wow.
A naked Flash?
No, I was going off of something different. Of the Flash not getting his powers from that. If he didn't get it through some kind of science experiment or something happened to him, I think us as fans would be kind of like, all right.
And that's how I feel, too.
Right.
I don't think...
We've been on board, guys, but this...
I don't think we're going to see a tech suit-inspired Flash as far as, like, as getting his powers
set.
Like
an Iron Man Flash?
Right. No, I don't think anybody wants to see that. We already have Cyborg coming down the line. Like, we certainly don't need to go there.
I need our version of Particle Accelerator. I need the movie version of that. I need something to happen so that he does change.
Yes. Well, hopefully it won't be the same kind of, like, MacGuffin that, like, is the spawn of, like, you know, umpteen heroes. Like, hopefully it will be unique.
The MacGuffin. Perfect.
The MacGuffin, yeah. Some other cool things that were happening at the New York Comic Con. When you have a bunch of freaks dressing in costumes...
It's my favorite piece of news.
You allow the opportunity for some really recognizable people to hide in plain sight. This is something that's been pretty common happening at Comic Cons recently. And Jared Leto is the latest person to go around in costume taking pictures with other DC characters.
Was he Baloo?
He was dressed as a giant baboon creature. No, I don't think.
From the Lion King.
There he is, right there. No. Is it a Lion King thing? Maybe it is.
It looks like the Lion King, the one.
It looks like the play, the Lion King play.
I would think Leto has connections to Broadway costume departments.
I think maybe this is so fantastic. This picture, if you guys are on iTunes, switch over to YouTube or just look up the picture. I think it is so funny. This dude, no idea. No idea who he's standing next to.
Does he though? Like, just look at him. Like,
who knows?
Why is he?
The caption was, he has no idea.
He looks like, hey, look who I'm taking a picture with.
No.
That's his reaction. He's not like trying to be the Joker.
You see people at Comic-Con, hey, look who I'm taking a picture with, a baboon.
I think he went up to the Joker and goes, hey, can I take a picture with you? Dude, your costume's awesome. I think Leto went to him.
Oh, definitely.
Oh, yeah.
So then the guy's asking you a costume. When someone comes up to me, if I'm wearing a costume at a con, and they're like, hey, man, the awesome costume, can I take a picture? I don't suddenly go.
He's making a Joker face.
That's his Joker face?
Yeah, kind of.
All right.
That's his Joker face?
Yeah, he could have said to him, he's like, look, hey, I'm a big fan of the Joker. Why don't we take a picture together?
All right.
Or he could have said this. He could have said, hey, I'm Jared Leto, but no one's ever going to believe you. Let's take a picture. Kind of like Bill Murray. Isn't that the Bill Murray movie? He's like, no one's ever going to believe you. Yeah, like, he goes up to people and does random stuff. Hey, he's like, no one's ever going to believe you.
I'm Jared Leto underneath this mask. And he's like... That explains the reaction better.
No, that's not what happened. He even wrote in the caption, he doesn't even know, which is great.
He has no idea, yeah. That is true. He did write that in the caption.
He has no idea. That's what it said.
Roxy has no idea. Look, what's going on here, guys? Help me out.
The only way I get her quiet is the sensuality.
Wow. There is PG-13-ness for sensuality going on during DC Movie News right now.
I wish Doggy Style was PG-13. Whoa!
Now, I'm oh my God, listen, I'm trying to clean up this show. I'm trying to make this a family show to push it through. I want us to have 6 million viewers by this time next year, so I need to clean up our act, okay?
Okay.
You guys are not helping. One really cool, subtle thing, not so subtle, that was done at New York Comic Con was all the Wi-Fi, free Wi-Fi, was provided by your friends at LexCorp.
Love this.
Making a better tomorrow today.
And now all your pertinent information is now stored on our hard drive somewhere.
Right.
So Lex got everyone.
Right. So the whole thing. So guys, the whole thing here is that Lex's thing is like, this is the most private OS system. OS system is redundant. This is the most private OS that's ever been. So but really, LexCorp knows everything that ever was to know about you.
Brilliant marketing.
It's great.
That's fantastic.
How much do you think this cost them?
They don't
Apparently apparently this has just been done by like Terminator Genesis did this before, and X-Men was doing X-Men Days of Future Past was doing stuff like that.
But at least with this, it fits.
It makes sense. No, this makes a lot more sense. And guys, their website is up right now. I think it's like LexCorp.com.
With the Forbes article that they did, it just they can and create this world that it fits in our world, and it works perfectly.
If you do a Google search, you will find the home, Roxy will tell you in a second, for LexCorp's website. Now, right now, there's just a couple of pages, but the big thing is they're telling you, big news coming for winter in 2015. And I don't think this is like the swerve that happened about the Batman news. I think during the winter, obviously, is when we're going to start to get our big push. You know, we're going to get another trailer. I don't think we need anything until December, and I don't think we should have.
No, I don't think we should. What's Warner Brothers' big film coming out this holiday season? Because it's going to be with that.
Oh, God.
I don't know what they've got. I know there's Bond, and there's Star Wars, but those aren't WB. I don't know what else is big coming out that...
It's not Hateful Eight.
Nope.
There's no legendary movie.
I don't know.
But also, guys, this reminds me of a rumor that was going around. I don't know where it came from, but people were saying that there might be a one-minute BVS trailer that's Superman-focused happening during the premiere of Supergirl. And at the same time, on that Monday night, there'll be a one-minute Batman-focused BVS trailer. Well, what do you guys think of that?
That was like a week ago it came out, and then there's been nothing.
Nothing. So I don't know. I heard that. Do we think that's actually happening?
I think it comes out of nowhere. Unless they want to get viewers to Supergirl.
I mean, it would make a lot of sense to get viewers to Supergirl. And then if it was a 1 minute, what would it be? Like, would it be any new footage? I mean, or it seems weird to reveal like a new thing on like a TV show like that.
It would have to be a lot of footage that we've seen combined with one piece of footage that we have.
That's exactly what I was thinking, Roxy. Like, it would mostly be made up of stuff we've seen before, but one little nugget of new action.
And then everybody's going to be talking about it.
Yeah. But it would be really funny if they put one on during Gotham, too, at the same time. Because it would just
Gotham was the one Batman. They were going to do a Batman-heavy one during Gotham.
Right, and then a Superman-heavy one during Supergirl. Because I think they're going on at the same time.
They are, which is
both Monday nights.
Both Monday nights at the same time.
That's what happens when you got different networks.
I personally,
it's the same parent network.
I think they're going to cannibalize each other.
But I think, honestly, guys, nowadays, that is old-school thinking. Networks are like, nope, people DVR, we know
exactly.
X gets DVR'd.
No.
So people...
No.
Yes.
There's so many other time slots this could have gone.
Guys, he's going to try to shut it
down. Stop you talking.
I can't.
You got TV time, I got sensuality.
Wow.
Yes, you do.
PG-13 time.
Anyway, Adam, how you doing?
Lonely.
Somebody asked if I would get up and give you a hug. Want a hand hug?
It's okay.
Want a hand hug?
This is what I need.
That's
this is what
used to call
I deserve.
In college, hand hugs.
Rachel.
We'll talk about that.
Rachel, she was going to leave him for me. She was. I swear she was. What, Alfred? What's that letter? What's that letter over there, Alfred? Why are you hiding?
Bruce, what if I had a letter? I burned that letter.
Let me see the letter. It's from Rachel, Alfred.
Yeah, would you bring you pain, Master Bruce?
I don't understand.
I do.
How would it bring me pain?
It would lose the love of someone who I care for.
You're being so cryptic right now.
Since his tears echoed through this house.
God, Alfred, you're so mysterious.
Every time I see him, I find him saying the same thing. He's talking about Vin Diesel. I was like, you were a last witch hunter. I heard hunted witches. When I heard you cry and your tears echoed through the house.
Is Michael Caine in The Last Witch Hunter?
Yes.
Is that why?
Time his voice pops up, all I picture of him is talking about that. Your tears echoed through the house.
Help me.
I watched The Dark Knight again this week, guys.
Did you?
Still awesome.
Oh.
The animated one?
No, I watched Batman Begins and The Dark Knight again this week. I had a friend saying from out of town. We watched them both this week. Still amazing.
Were you thinking it wouldn't be?
You know, just sometimes you never know. Sometimes you get around to a movie that you love and you're like, oh, this is starting to lose a little something.
On the 212th time, you're like, oh, actually, no.
Yeah, like, you know, I go back to the 1989 Batman sometimes and I'm like, yeah, this was unnecessary.
Yeah.
You know what? They could have made some different choices.
I read a great article online. Someone was saying that they think in 20 years, the Burton films will hold up better than the Nolan films.
Interesting.
And I agree.
Interesting.
Because the Nolan films are so tied to our times, 9/11 and whatnot. It's very...
And they're very stylized. The Burton films are so stylized.
So it just kind of, you know, yes, the quality of the film itself and some of the effects don't hold up as well.
Yeah.
But from a standpoint of a film, I think it will.
I don't think so.
It was just so... It's just so detailed, you know? I just love all the details. Like, I always said it before, like, they just... Everything is so...
games
earned in The Dark Knight. Like, I just feel like it's earned.
We talk about I'm a Batman Begins fan over Dark Knight.
They're Batman both Begins. Great. They're both great. You're wrong, but they're both great.
All right.
So that's cool. We got LexCorp doing some stuff. Also, the final piece of movie news. Justice League Dark, it was on again, it was off again, it was Guillermo, it's not. We don't know what's happening, but it seems like Justice League Dark is getting another push because it's being championed by Hollywood mega producer Scott Rudin. Mm-hmm. Scott Rudin is kind of like
he gets things done.
Rick Rubin. You know, in like the album world, like when you need something to happen,
you go to this guy.
You go to Rick Rubin. He just like produces from his couch.
You got him and you got Brian Grazer. Yeah. And they get him out there.
Exactly. So if Scott Rudin, and apparently it's being fast tracked, apparently this is going to go into production in 2016. So to get like the mystical side of the DC universe going, how do we feel about this?
Well, we were so excited a couple years ago when they announced the DC slate. And I think as a DC fan, that was a mistake. To do that. You know, Green Lantern was here, Cyborg was here, because think of all these changes that are happening now that I think they've got their timeline worked of what they want to do, but like Justice League Dark, you know, they didn't announce it then, so now does it seem kind of shoehorned in? Because it's like it was always in production. I think they tried to match Marvel with that, announcing a slate ahead of time. Like, even now, Marvel's like, well, we're going to pull back on Inhumans and we're doing this. And
well,
now,
yeah, we don't so know how much like, of that is true.
I think they're kind of, now they've got their head in the game. Batman and Superman is done, almost wrapped. You know, they're almost locked on picture on that. So now they know Suicide Squad is trending really well. People seem to respond to that.
Yeah.
So now they're like, okay, now we know, now we can make these decisions.
Yeah.
You know, Cyborg, there's a rumor now it's being sidetracked. And it's going to be a Teen Titans movie with Cyborg leading it.
Well, I'd say it. I kind of see what you're saying, and it's true, but I think that by making that bold announcement, it was just kind of getting everybody's attention.
Kind of taking like the pants down and throwing it out there and going,
exactly.
This is what we got.
So now, I think they'd be fools. Oh, God. Taking your pants down is. Now it's like. It's getting borderline creepy now.
I'll believe it when I see it. When it comes to Justice League Dark, I'm very excited if it does come to fruition. No, I've moved on.
Oh. What from
on.
Him?
From him to Justice League Dark talk, you know, because like this is DC movie news.
Listen, to see Swamp Thing done in a film.
I'm kidding.
Would be so exciting to me to see Swamp Thing. And
you like Swamp Thing? We haven't talked about Swamp
Thing
in a while.
We haven't talked about Swamp Thing in so long. So look. I think there's a lot of cool stuff to do here. And, it can be rooted in the DC universe, but it doesn't have to take place in, like, this main Justice League story. I mean, it could be, like, a branch off, just like Marvel does with their Netflix and things like that. Like, not everything has to be so rooted and tied to each other. Although, you know, many people will remember that, like, Alan Moore wrote some great Batman and Swamp Thing crossovery kind of stuff. And, like, you know, Gotham was all done over in green. And, like, Swamp Thing basically held Gotham City hostage because they had Swamp Thing's wife and he wasn't feeling that, and Batman was like, get out of my city, and Swamp Thing's like, I'm sorry, you can't make me, I'm Swamp Thing. And
that's
like,
your Swamp Thing impression?
Which one?
I'm sorry, you can't make me,
I'm sorry, you can't make me.
There you go.
It was more like this. That was how he sounded on the US.
It kind of sounds like me. Doesn't that kind of sound like me when he does his Swamp Thing? Ooh, that is nice for the listeners at home.
Exciting for it.
You doing okay?
I'm doing great.
All right.
You know, speaking of Alan Moore, great segue, he wrote this really cool Batman story called The Killing Joke once.
Just a little tale.
A little ditty. really violent. This is the story where Barbara Gordon was captured. She was shot. She was paralyzed. Commissioner Gordon was captured, stripped naked.
Sodomized.
I mean, and then this is the one where I think Grant Morrison, I think, theorizes that Batman actually does kill the Joker at the end of those one. But it's
the way that the panels are drawn and the way that they black it out and with them both laughing, it's like, did he kill him?
Right.
And it's this debate forever.
And it's an Elseworlds story that was actually canonized. I mean, like, part of it is really
into it.
It was retconned to play canon, you know, because of what happened to Barbara and everything. So it is a seminal work, and despite the fact that
It is a seminal work. I love it.
Despite the fact that Alan Moore has disavowed any sort of interpretation of his work.
He is such an odd bird, man.
He's a freaking odd bird.
God.
He's really odd, but he's brilliant. He is really, he's brilliant.
He's, done,
he's been incredibly prolific. Yeah, he's a genius, so I don't care. He doesn't need to like it. But the interesting thing is that, I don't know if it was the head of DC Animation or whoever, but basically they got the green light to make it R.
James Tucker.
Okay, thank you very much. Tucker. So yeah, can you speak to this a little bit?
He's their animation head guy.
Right.
He's the guy that goes
Oh, not what I said, the head of DC Animation. You're saying it's the head guy.
Well, of animation.
Gotcha. He's the head guy of animation, not the head of animation.
Right.
That makes sense.
He actually might be in charge of, like, Scooby-Doo and Looney Tunes and all that.
Oh, he might be bigger. It might be more
important. But I know he's the guy that points to, like, Jay Olivia and goes, okay, you're directing this. And
right. Jay Olivia, who's directed Dark Knight Returns and then Throne of Atlantis and many of these other animated films.
But we hear that just because they've been given the green light doesn't mean they're necessarily going to take it.
That was the weird thing. He's like, I was told I could. Will we? I don't know.
It just means the exciting thing here is I don't need it to be R.
The book wasn't R. The book was PG-13.
Right, but it leaves a lot. It implies certain things. Okay, yes. I'm going to tell you guys a little lesson on how the Motion Picture Association of America works. Okay, so to get an R rating, that implies...
So if Doggy Style is a PG-13 rating...
Right, that implies putting lipstick on your butt.
Like, so if, someone putting the lipstick on your butt with their lips?
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. Basically.
On cheek?
Yeah. Lipstick applied to a butt.
See, the cheek. You can't push me that far.
No, that's no.
Interesting, though, The Martian movie that's out right now, PG-13, there's an inordinate amount of the F word in that
there
movie.
There is.
But they got around it.
Is there a lot of F word in that? Oh, because they cut away and he
doesn't
hear a lot.
There's a big article, I didn't get to read it today, but where it talks about how that movie, just by cutting other things and
it didn't feel R to me.
You can't show a lot of blood, but if the blood is, because of lighting, doesn't look red, it can get away and not be an R rated.
I think it's also,
stuff like that.
I'm being serious, guys. I think when you can show blood, if it doesn't happen as a violent result, as an attack, I can stick you with a sword, right, in a PG-13, and you usually won't see the blood. If you see a lot of that gore, that becomes R. But if someone's bleeding from cutting themselves off a piece of shrapnel, I don't know if it has the same implication.
And if you guys watch
the ones, not as violent an image.
If you've watched the ones that have come out, they've progressively
I'm serious, Roxy. Stop laughing at me.
I'm laughing because serious. In the chat, Zeno Hour said that to be R, you had to reverse cowgirl, which that was funny.
That is true. Yeah, reverse cowgirl is definitely
reverse
R.
Cowgirl?
That is, okay, so imagine Lego Batman.
What is this?
Is cowgirl.
I'm not sure.
Okay, so imagine my phone is the horse.
Uh-huh.
So, Lego he's Batman, riding. He's riding like cowgirl style.
That's
but,
that's girl
so imagine
top.
My horse's head is here.
Reverse.
So as soon as he goes reverse like this, and he's riding the cowgirl, but he's like, here's my phone, and he's putting his hand up in the air, he's going reverse cowgirl.
Well, where do
riding
the hands,
the horse
where do
backwards.
The hands go then?
They go up in the air. You're doing it this kind of thing.
I'm pretty upset that I acknowledge
that. This is
that
what
comment.
They do when they go on the horse.
So,
this is how you ride the rodeo.
She's up like this?
Yeah.
With it's a hand on an imaginary belt?
Yeah.
Oh.
It's imagined, like a rodeo. It's a rodeo reference, right?
Okay,
guys,
fair enough.
Back me up.
No, thank you guys in the chat room for pointing that out to me.
Anyway, the bottom
will
line
they get upset
is,
if I... Okay.
I'm very excited about the Killing Joke. I think it's going
to
be really cool.
I don't think it needs to be R-rated, because I'm thinking back to the book. I mean, they never show the sodomy of Gordon. It's all done implied, especially with the pictures.
Which I know you're super upset about.
Yes,
but
no, I think it's, again, it lets them... But, if you've seen the movies, if everyone, you guys watch those, they're getting really dark. I mean, Assault on Arkham was really... Heads cutting off. I mean, Harley Quinn, half naked half the time in that movie.
Yeah, they know their audience isn't kids. They know they're making these movies.
They've got a niche market. They've cornered it. They do it better than anyone right now. I think they just need to keep going on that.
I like them. I want to like all the animated stuff from all the superhero stuff, but I can't even watch the Marvel stuff.
No.
It's just too childish.
Marvel's movies, top-notch. Their animation... Those things are terrible.
And DC, I've always loved DC Animation, even when it was on, WB and stuff.
Yeah, they know what they're doing.
So, I don't know. And you guys know, I love a lot of Marvel stuff, but, man, DC knows how to do animation, and it's just progressed so well. There was also a trailer for the next DC Universe film, Batman Bad Blood, that's going to feature Batman disappearing, Dick Grayson stepping up to the Dark Knight role, some dude playing Batwing, which I'm admitting... right now
Fox Lucius Fox is Lucius
Luke Fox's
son, Luke Fox.
Right. And they said Batwoman, the first Batwoman that you're going to see.
And they were saying how – I read this – watching this thing, and they were saying how the Batwing suit is kind of a first step towards Terry McGinnis's suit, which I thought was awesome.
It does look like the first step.
And they said that because it doesn't really look like the comic book version. They go,
Louis Arisante.
But they said, you know what? We're kind of – this is a Terry McGinnis kind of first evolution, which you would see eventually would get to this. I was like, that's awesome that they're tying that all together.
Because in my day, the Batwing was like a plane.
Yeah. But, it was Michael
but now they're kind of making this Batwing looks like the newer Falcon.
Like a plane?
Well, Batwing's the character's name.
Batwing. Right. The Batwing is a plane.
And that started, I think that was started with
Tim Burton,
up in
right?
It was called the Batwing.
He flies the Batwing.
But he calls the Batwing in that movie. So I think that started it. He's always had a Batwing now.
Yes. But in now Batwing is a guy
right.
who kind of is like the new Falcon. Because he's flying around. He's the new Falcon is taking a little Iron Man.
Little Iron Man. Yeah.
So, I mean, and he's like, you know, it's just there's a lot of similarities there. But it looks cool. I like seeing, you know, Nightwing. It's going to be like a whole Bat family movie. Apparently.
Jason O'Mara has really grown on me as Bruce Wayne.
Yeah.
His first couple with, like, war and stuff, I was kind of like, But now he's really grown on me. I love the guy playing Damian.
What do you think is going to happen in Killing Joke? Because they've already announced Mark Hamill, but they haven't
they're
announced.
They're going to bring Conroy in. I mean.
They couldn't not, right? That would make no sense.
To. Yeah, they've got to. They've always established we're going to do two in continuity, one kind of story like they did. You know, they'll do New 52 continuity, which is kind of gone now, so they're doing their own thing. But with that one, Hamill, it's going to be Conroy. It's got to be. Yeah, I like different voices for Batman because it gives us a different interpretation.
Yeah.
But if you're doing Conroy in that storyline, if you're doing Hamill, give us Conroy.
Yeah, you know, and I love Peter Weller. I mean, Peter Weller, RoboCop is literally probably my favorite movie of all time. But I would have liked to have seen what Conroy would have done with The Dark Knight Returns.
You know, I agree. I loved his thing until he gave the big speech about the city needs to rise up and protect itself. It was the flattest. I don't know what happened. I don't know if it was the first thing they did in the recording room, but Andrea Romano is so great with her actors, and he's great in the entire film, except for that one monologue. You're just going, why is he not raising his voice? That was his Braveheart moment, and it's just so flat, and it kills it for me.
Yeah.
Kills it for me. Mark Valley, though, Superman, who I love that actor. He's on The Human Target.
Yeah.
And Mark Valley, his Superman was fantastic.
Yeah. That's going to get a rewatch this week. I haven't watched animated Dark Knight Returns.
Did you ever
Because
I was so upset that they put it on two different discs and released it. It was terrible, but they finally did it all together on one.
On one disc?
Yes. And it's all played as one movie, and it plays so great to pop in for 3 hours. It's
cool.
Fantastic.
Yeah, I need to rewatch that. Yeah.
I've been having fun with the chat for a little bit, guys.
And so tell us
what's going on in the chat.
We're going back to talking about Killing Joke. East Blue Drew says if Taylor Swift is announced as Batgirl, I'm pushing for the Killing Joke hard. Is that something that's a joke, or is Taylor Swift actually?
I see no reason why that couldn't happen. That would make total sense.
Publicity stunt. Her role isn't that big.
She's got a good voice for that. It would be a good role. She probably wants to do some acting stuff. It would be a great. I mean, they would certainly. What are you looking at?
I know. People in the chat have been talking about it.
That's fantastic.
They think that DC has a different meaning on this show than.
Somebody is I Am Ninja Panda is in fact voicing Batman in The Killing Joke.
Can we get copies of it?
We just spread the word.
Yeah.
There you go.
I'd like a free copy then, please.
I Am Ninja Panda. Let's see.
What else we got?
What else we got? We got TV time. We got something TV world.
We have what?
TV time.
Is it time?
Let's do it.
We always do this. Do we have anybody in the booth ready to play this audio cue?
It's time for...
Oh, my God.
Hey!
He asked for it this time. Roxy Stars TV time.
Song does enough.
DC movie news, it's time
to talk. TV time!
Ow! Yeah! Master! So, we have TV time news. So, this is exciting. Keeping in line with a lot of the things that DC, Warner Brothers does is recasting people that have been involved in past DC projects.
Yes.
We've seen this a lot. I remember it starting with Smallville. You had Terrence Stamp playing Jor-El. Yes. You had Annette O'Toole, who played Lana Lang in Superman 3, playing his Clark's mother.
Yeah. You have it in The Flash.
It's all over the place.
Mm-hmm.
I love it.
A nod to the fans. I think it's great.
It's a great nod
Respecting
to the fans, and
before.
It keeps a continuity within the family, and it also has that sort of multiverse-y vibe.
Yeah.
Yeah. Which is so DC. One of the coolest castings that happened at the time, I believe the year was 1992. Go back there. I remember I had the Happy Meal. The film Batman Returns, the character, the Penguin, opening sequence, a little deformed baby with flippers born to a rich cobblepot family, played by one embattled at the time, Paul Rubens.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Apparently is reprising that position.
I think it's great. And no one really, like, kind of like I expected the internet to blow up about this. Like,
look at them next to each other.
Yeah. Could this make Gotham a prequel to the Keaton films?
Whoa.
People are like, well, no, he was a mutant penguin. And I was like, yes, I know, but you can kind of massage it a little bit and get the fact that. And it works. If you watch Gotham now thinking that's a prequel to the Keaton films, it works.
Well, Gotham does. You see that? And this is the thing. It's like I'm always talking about the tone of Gotham because like sometimes it takes itself very seriously and then sometimes it just feels really silly. So yeah.
They've even said that the Catwoman, Bianca, whatever her name is, they say she looks like a young Michelle Pfeiffer.
Yeah.
Look at her. Well, she does.
Listen, they're definitely casting in line with that. I wouldn't say like it's a direct prequel. I don't think it's like that. Like, oh, this is going to match up.
No.
But it's all in the DNA of the DCEU.
Yes. Doesn't he look hand-drawn in the photo?
I thought you were going to say handsome, and I thought you were looking at me when you said it. Oh. That's how much I need positive affirmation. Doesn't he look handsome? And I'm like, Roxy, that's so nice.
Hey, Adam, you look very handsome today.
And was it Carol Kane is the mom, right?
Yeah, so he's got...
She's been on, though.
Yes.
We met her last season.
Several times, yeah, and she's been on this season, too.
And they love each other oh so very much.
But where's the father been?
That's not being in the same kind of relationship as the son and the mother, who are clearly BFF.
Have they told us what's happening on Gotham with the father up to this point?
No, or is it going to be? He was dead.
So it might be a flashback kind of situation.
I hope not.
I don't think so based on this photo, but maybe.
I heard that you actually saw Paul Rubens in the Gotham reel that they showed at New York Comic Con, but I watched it really quickly and I didn't catch it.
Yeah, I didn't catch him.
So, I don't know, but, I mean, it's cool. Did you guys see Gotham this week?
I'm one behind on Gotham. I think I've watched three.
Yeah. Well, check out this week. I know everybody...
I don't know.
I really liked last week, so I have to go watch this week.
You know what was cool about this week? Ben Barnes, played by Michael Chiklis, comes in as like the new captain after the commissioner's dead, and he basically outs all the supposed corrupt cops, fires them on their ass. They go recruiting a squad. It starts to feel like they're forming GCPD, the comic. Like they even got new uniforms that say GCPD on them.
Right, right, right.
And it looks like they're getting a team together. So
he
I like
no
the implications.
Wrong.
I like
Chiklis him, yeah. can do no wrong.
Yeah. No, Chiklis is great. You don't know right now. Like he seems like such a good character, and he seems like a perfect partner for Gordon.
Right.
That it makes me think maybe it's a little too good. Like maybe this guy's going to go around, but
I don't know.
I like the direction it's going. See, guys, I said something positive about Gotham.
Yeah, you know, I was watching these episodes because you guys, everyone had talked and said the first two, God, it's so good. And I was like, okay,
no, people were saying it was so much better.
Okay, so much better. Okay, yes, that's what I'm saying. So good.
Not this so season. Good, so okay. much better.
Okay, fine. Mincing words. Bygones be bygones. So I tuned in, I was like, the Joker guy was killing me. He was absolutely killing me.
Terrible.
How terrible, terrible this was.
It was really
bad. But what I love, and they've always done this, the production on that show, it is a gorgeous show. It looks like Batman could show up at any moment. It's not like they didn't take some buildings in New York, throw some graffiti on it. I mean, they light the buildings and everything right. It just is such a well-done show, well-shot. It's just the acting, and it's like, I was talking to some actor friends of mine. It's one of those ones where some actors are playing it straight. Others are like Jerome or thinking, it's like, it's what you think to act and acting crazy is.
Right, exactly. So like, that's what I said. It's a great impression.
Like, let's say we got an audition for this show. I wouldn't know what to do if I was to audition for that. I'd be like, how do I play this? Like, am I over the top crazy or do I play it straight like a normal role? It's so, and every character is different. Like Peter Scolari was on. He was the guy that was telling, fired Gordon. He was kind of like a councilman guy.
Right.
He's a really good actor. He was on Bosom Buddies.
Yeah.
But I watched this. I was like, what is he doing? This like caricature. So it's like, I don't know if it's episode to episode. People are different, but like Monica Becerra or Marina Becerra
is
Tompkins. I love Bullock is fantastic.
And what about the mayor? Who's the great character actor that's been playing the mayor? He's had like a cage on his head.
He's been everything.
Because he's such a comic actor and casting that actor as the mayor. What is it? Richard Kind. Yeah. So just having Richard Kind show up, you automatically are like predisposed to laugh. And then he's like wearing like a weird birdcage kind of apparatus on his head. Some sometimes. Right. So he looks like, what was that old cartoon character that was like so ugly, the dog was so ugly that he had like a little, you know what I'm talking about? And he's like, then he would take off the helmet and show him, like you would never see his face, but it would like make people throw up. Come on, what was that cartoon dog I'm thinking of?
I don't know.
That's what they got the mayor looking like. Roxy, obviously you don't know. Why, you were not born like for 20 years till after that aired.
Okay. Well,
it was called like Wonder Dog and Yuck Yuck or something. Wonder Mutt.
Yes.
Yuck. Blue Yuck Falcon. Yuck? Was it the Blue Falcon's partner?
No, he was. That was Wonder Dog. Blue Falcon and Dynamite.
You're ruining TV time for me.
Okay. Moving on. Flash, episode 2. What were you guys' thoughts? We had Sand Demon. We had Jake Garrick.
Well, we're in the fact that this guy, Teddy Sears. I saw when he was cast, I was like, that to me was Barry Allen. When I
Teddy Sears was?
That's his name.
No, I know who. I know the actor's name.
I'm just saying, when I saw his headshot, I looked him up online, I was like,
he looks that's like a classic
what I,
Barry
that's
Allen.
What I envisioned Barry Allen. The blonde hair, classic leading man.
What about when he opened his mouth, though?
Hold on. Let me digress here for a second.
Guys, you guys are going to have to learn to listen to each other.
I have
communication is the beginning
I read
of any major
great,
relationship.
I have read this great article David Rapport was on about casting and what he sees. Like, when they were doing Flash, they wanted the geeky 20-something. So, and I love Grant Gustin. I think he's a phenomenal actor, and he will grow into that role. It doesn't speak to me as Barry Allen, because especially when he does some kind of the poses, Flash, he looks kind of awkward in the costume. Yeah. But that's what they wanted, and it works. So when he was cast as a Flash character, I was like, oh, this is going to be awesome. That said, during the episode, he was written kind of like a modern Flash from a different Earth. I thought his Earth was going to be like an aw shucks 50s.
I think that Earth. Is how he was written.
Yeah.
No, he should have played a more aw shucks. He should have been a Chris Evans Captain America, like, because when he's saying,
I got a lot more that he calls him kiddo a couple of
but
times.
But he calls him kid. He should have been calling him kiddo.
He kind of reminded me of you when I was watching.
Yeah, I was like
me
doing
too.
It. I'm going.
Really?
I could nail.
Yeah.
I would nail this role.
Yeah, you would nail that
because it's the kiddo, and it's not a derogatory term. But he's calling him kid. And it's like, no, it should be kiddo.
That's
and
interesting.
He should be aw shucks. Not
I
in
did
a
get it. I did
way.
Get that impression, and then I was like, well, he's only been the Flash for
but
2 years, which I thought was a mistake.
They put him in a leather jacket. I'm kind of like, he should have. But the one button up was kind of cool on that. It was a nice thing. I loved it. I thought he brought this kind of an elder statesman to it. The whole thing of when Stein is doing the Earths. Mm-hmm. I was like, oh my God, they're doing this.
That oh my God, when they did the Earth 1, Earth 2 breakdown.
I loved that.
Okay, here's what I want to say about episode 2. I gotta say, I was disappointed with episode 1.
Really?
Yes, me
I thought
too.
Because episode the season finale of season 1 was such a build.
The problem was the thing with the dad. That was the
issue. I missed you guys last week, but I'm sitting there watching this going, Barry.
The way they just got rid of.
I gotta go. I'm out. See, I gotta go. I was like,
10 years!
Are you kidding me?
There were problems.
But it felt like it was also biding time to just get to this episode. It was like really weird. I was like, this is what they've been advertising. Even in the way when they put out images of the new Flash, and it's like, ignore that first episode.
Right.
We're just trying to get to this episode.
Yeah, it was really. Episode 2 was really, really strong. I still liked episode 1, but the thing with the Earth was incredible. Oh, the way they explained it to the audience, everything.
Yes, and it didn't dumb it down for us, but what I love is, can you imagine we live in, because we got Gil Bellows as the mayor, who was from the original show, Tina McGee, imagine he's doing one of these, you know, earth jumpings, and his dad, John Wesley Shipp, is the Flash on a different world.
I'm waiting to see that.
And you put him in the suit from the original one?
When we know that Trickster's coming which is going to be really,
that's right,
really
Trickster's
cool.
coming back too. I didn't take anything from that, but we have Mark Hamill will be back.
Yeah, which I'm so excited about, because he does an amazing job.
Can I give a shout out? I'm sorry to cut you off there.
Absolutely.
Patty Spivitt. The actress.
Oh, no.
I loved her from
One Tree Hill.
I didn't know who she was.
When she was cast in this, I was like, that's so weird. She played like a 30-year-old on One Tree Hill 10 years ago.
Wasn't it like her character's called Lady Cop?
Do you hear how everybody just like the atmosphere changed as soon as we started talking about The Flash? Like, you could tell everybody in this room actually likes it, and we're not talking about it because we have to. You know what I mean? Like, it's just genuinely entertaining. It's just striking the right note.
She nailed it.
She is so talented, and she has incredible range.
On a role that's kind of like, oh, tough lady cop, you know, this and that. She's because of her dad, this and that. But it was like, she nailed. I was so like her. That was the best thing of the episode. I mean, her and Jay Garrick being introduced.
There's a lot of conspiracy theories about Patty Spivitt right now, though, and that she might actually be from Earth 2.
Interesting. Okay. Well, look, they've jumbled it all so much with Earth 1 and 2 and time travel. I don't know what's what anymore, even having characters played by the same actor.
And then what's his face? You know, Wells shows up at the end.
Right, which is, but that was Earth 2, I'm assuming.
Was it Earth 2, though?
Yeah,
or was
I
it the future?
So.
I'm assuming it was Earth 2, but you don't know and they don't tell you. It's great.
Well,
it's
based
good.
On the building up, so I think it's Earth 2.
Because it had that 50s vibe.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, can I say one thing though?
No,
Barry was kind of a dick in that episode.
Oh my God.
Yeah,
he
to
was
Teddy.
The way he's like, no, nope, I'm not going
to
help you. I'm a
just like you
brat.
Were just a dick. You asked if you could say one thing, and I said no.
Well, I went ahead.
And you went ahead and said it anyway.
You were Jay Garrick going, "Hey, can I help you?" I was like, "No, I don't want your help."
I think you're both dicks, and I'm a princess.
Listen, we're supposed to clean up the show. Stop using that word.
Mm.
You're a lady.
Yeah, princess.
Lady.
Will Deathstorm be on their way back to Firestorm? Excuse me.
Sorry.
Let me try that again.
Rewind.
Will Deathstorm be our way back to Firestorm on the CWDCU?
Nailed it.
Thank you. Okay, so we know that the Ronnie character is gone.
Robbie
right?
Amell. Yeah.
Robbie Amell's character, Ronnie, he got sort of burned up. So now we got the professor guy who's kind of freaking out. He's like one half of a Firestorm. We don't know what's going to happen.
Martin Stein, Victor Garber.
Right.
Didn't on Legends of Tomorrow, they've already cast a guy who was one of the Flashes in the comics? The African-American version of it.
They've already cast another half of Firestorm.
On that show.
But he's not the West. He's not Wally West.
No, he's not.
They've also cast Wally West, of course.
Legends of Tomorrow, the way they announced it and when they shot that, which at the time everyone was like, it's an episode. I go, no, that was shot for the trailer, that 2 minute where they're fighting Vandal Savage.
Yeah.
That kind of screwed everything up because watching Arrow last night, I completely forgot about Sarah. We'll get to that and what happened with her. So now they're casting all these characters, but that Legends of Tomorrow stuff has not happened yet in the CW universe.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
But it's because we know that people have already been cast.
They're going to have to do a little retconning because we know we're not getting Robbie Amell back, at least as a regular, at least for the time being.
Although with Caitlin and Teddy.
So I think the implication here is that in the comics, Deathstorm, okay, follow me here, was one of the Green Lanterns, right? So there was a Black Lantern. Right, which is a
Death Lantern.
Right,
yeah.
Right, so Black Lantern, okay. So then that one half of that Death Lantern was part of Death Storm that hooked up with Victor Garber, I believe, and became Death Storm. He became like this like evil Firestorm character. But then at some point, Death Storm was somehow reanimated himself as a Black Lantern on his own without the other halves, and the other halves formed Firestorm. I have no idea what I'm saying, guys. I know I probably confused everyone. I confused myself.
Right.
The speculation here is that we're going to go through Deathstorm to get back to Firestorm as a storyline.
Mm-hmm.
So we might get a little, like, evil Firestorm, and then he eventually becomes good again.
So why is Martin Stein sick right now, or passing out?
No.
I think because this is kind of like what happened when the Vision separated the Incredible Hulk and Bruce Banner back in the 80s, and they both started to kind of like drift apart and like their atoms like started to separate.
But it's been six months.
Yeah, he's showing signs.
But also we've got to realize Victor Garber's not going to be on this show anymore. He's going to go to Legends of Tomorrow.
Right.
Yeah.
So they've got to find a way to get him. Maybe he's got a trace. He's found some kind of elements that he's tracking down.
Shows are tightly wound right now. Like we saw Green Arrow appear on the second episode of The Flash, like referring to the Green Arrow.
And Flash appeared on Arrow too.
Right.
Yeah.
So they're just, the continuity couldn't be tighter. Like, the DCU is keeping this net tight.
Mm-hmm. Smart.
I agree. I mean, the CW is keeping it really tight on there. So I think it's really cool. Arrow, what did you guys think of Arrow episode 2?
I enjoyed it. I just watched it last night.
Good fight choreography, right?
That show's always got great fight choreography.
Particularly that one with Speedy at the end where she was like low and then high and then kick and then like...
Oh, my.
It was wild.
Great. No, the shot for me was when she ran, he shot the arrow, she jumped with her baton, caught it, and swung down.
Oh.
That thing was phenomenal.
I feel like Arrow is taking a page out of Flash's book right now and being a little more fun. Like, we see the Felicity stuff. She's making some jokes at the beginning.
Well,
they're on the phone. Like,
they've always said it's going to be his journey to this. And even when they start in season one, it says he's not going to be Green Arrow. He's going to journey to becoming a hero.
Right.
It took him 4 years, but I think all they also realize Flash does very well with
right. That. No, I think it's a smart thing to do when something's doing well. I think it is smart.
But yeah, Fee is all crazy now.
Yeah, and she is. She's crazy. But I really enjoyed the episode, and I'm actually really liking the female characters this season as opposed to last season where I didn't like them as much.
Yeah.
I'm loving watching Thea, and I think that Felicity's been really, really cool this season.
I think they listened to what the fans were saying about everyone.
That Thea versus Arrow was a good fight. It was a good fight. Who just said that? Somebody in the chat?
I was very disappointed in Anarchy.
Did Anarchy actually show up, or was it just
Lonnie Machin? It's his character. I mean, he's not killed off; he's around. But they did the Anarchy scene. I'm like, I mean, this show so much wants to take from Batman,
mm-hmm.
and that's a character that put a mask on him and put a hood. And
yeah,
you know,
I know
the villains. Damian Dark is a good step forward. And finally, having a great villain.
What do you guys think of Damian Dark? I think Neil McDonough was like...
He kills it.
They spent a lot of money on Neil McDonough because I think he's going to be in... I know he's going to be in Arrow. We know he's going to be in Legends of Tomorrow. They invested in a quality guy. Like, he... Okay, there are certain actors... I know it sounds confusing sometimes where we're like, oh, we like this and it's silly. We don't like that. It's campy. We've said it before. The show just needs to be consistent and make me buy it. Neil McDonough is one of those actors you could pretty much throw anything, and he just finds a way to ground it.
Yeah.
And a lot of this stuff that these guys have to say is inherently silly because it's in this comic book world.
That's what you need.
But Neil McDonough, just like, he's one of those guys, like Liam Neeson in Batman, in all the Batman movies.
You get, you know, Victor Garber, these guys that can spew out this science, but you believe it because they just say it.
Now, why is Laurel's dad working with Damian Dark?
We don't know right now.
We don't know,
but
okay.
Laurel, you gotta stop drinking Laurel.
He's
Laurel.
He's killing it right now. His character is killing
it. Oh, look who it is,
right
Mr. Queen, come back, Laurel.
Oh
God. You're back now? You're back to be Green Arrow now? You think you're
Green
changing
huh? Green Arrow, huh?
Okay, let's talk about theories for a second, though. He's annoying. He's annoying right now. Is he the one who ends up in the ground? Is he the one? Is that why they're making him like that this season?
No, that was.
It's time. I think he would be a great character to kill off because
he's
kind of served his purpose.
And if he is doing a betrayal, then it seems like he was. You know, if he's not double crossing Damian Dark, he's going to go against Damian Dark. Damian Dark would kill him with like a pass of his hand. That would be a great character death.
I believe that he could do it too. The pass of his, you know,
right? Because he's like that transmutative powers.
Yeah, he's also on another show, Public Morals, on TNT right now. I'm obsessed with him. He's the most talented.
A lot of love given to the Lazarus Pit this week too, right? Like,
because again, talking Legends of Tomorrow, I forgot. I was like, oh wow, she's dead.
Right, no, but now she's. Oh, that was a great little corpseo.
Yeah, I was like, oh, I forgot.
Disgusting.
It was so disgusting. It was great,
but it was great.
They didn't need to show us.
Yes,
that.
It did.
Oh, yes, you did. Yes,
I didn't need to see that.
Oh, because you're a lady. It's Felicity that dies. Hey, man, I'm with you.
Hey.
Some people are
I'm with
that.
You. I think that that's the
death I mean, bottom
I
line
see.
Is him and Laurel get back. Him and Laurel will end up together.
You just can't have Ollie with, like, a wife looking around, okay? I don't need no ball and chain. He's swinging.
I completely disagree.
Millionaire.
That's why he marries Laurel. Because the two of them can go out together, and it's a match. Maybe they're equals.
If Oliver and Laurel end up together, I'll jump ship.
Look, we'll put the bet right now that they will. When that series ends, they will be together.
Ugh.
It'll end with their marriage.
Oh, good. Well, he only cheated on her with his sister, so you know it's not that big of a deal.
Hot. I think it's good. Oh, his sister now, it's a corpse that she's going to get Lazarus pitified and she's going
to
become...
I don't know if the Lazarus pit works like that.
That's what I said.
They already said they're taking her back to...
I know what they're doing with it. I know that that's how she comes back, but I'm like, that's taking some liberties with
what,
the
because
pit.
You can't be dead that long in the pit will
right.
not?
Right. I mean, but Jason Todd, and I think when they talk about Jason Todd in the comics, he wasn't dead that long.
This is the problem with the Lazarus pit, and it's a deus ex machina. That means God
right,
and the machine.
Right. I mean, I don't know the time
for all you kids out there, God and the machine.
And she's a great character, and she's one of the best female characters that show's ever had, so...
She's gonna be what? White Canary?
White Canary.
That's kind of cool.
Yeah.
I mean, she looks cool. We'll see how we get there. I like the fact that Ray Palmer is dead at this point, right?
Thought to be dead.
Yeah.
Well, he's not going to be because Brandon Routh is also in Legends.
No, yes, I know, but I'm just saying,
again, it's
the status quo.
This, but on the show, we got to remember when watching Arrow and Flash right now, these characters are dead. We don't know that. It's like,
whoa,
it's
somebody just said a naughty word to Laurel, marry Sarah.
Mm. What?
Naughty words to Laurel. The naughty word I will not repeat.
F Laurel. Laurel.
Laurel.
I'm my daughter to go F herself.
That's really good. Oh, yeah.
Laurel.
You drink it so much.
Let's go. You drink it, Laurel. You gotta go see a meeting with me, Laurel.
F her, like, have sex with her, or F her, like, screw her?
Oh, no. I don't think it means
I think it means
sexual congress.
No.
I think it means
coitus.
Depart.
I don't think it means coitus at all.
Coitus. And then sex. Do you like it? The physical act of love.
Coitus.
Talk to me about the next show that could be.
What's next?
Moving forward.
Brian K. Vaughan has long been developing a Why the Last Man movie. For the longest time, this was championed by Mr. Shia LaBeoufson. But that went away. And now, talk about FX. Great network, by the way. They show great films.
Yeah,
they have quality programming.
I remember this was coming on. This is before Walking Dead. This was option for a movie.
You didn't even let him plug the frickin' FX movie downloads.
It's okay.
He was getting there.
Oh, God.
No.
Take it off.
No, I'm just saying, this week, FX is going to be doing an X-Men movie. I mean, X-Men TV show Legion is going to be on FX?
And Hellfire Club.
Hellfire is going to be on Fox,
mm-hmm.
which is confusing that Hellfire Club is going to be on Fox and Lucifer, a DC property, is also at Fox. Kind of weird, right? Hellfire, Lucifer.
Like,
I think they already know that Lucifer is not going to make it out of the season alive. But Why the Last Man, Brian K. Vaughan's epic work. I think it was 66 issues or 60 issues, start to finish. That's being developed by K. Vaughan for FX. What do you guys think?
Well, okay. Years ago, this was going to be a movie. They tried to get going. This is before the big Marvel renaissance of films. And my buddies and I were all talking around. We're sitting there going, it doesn't work as a movie because it's his ongoing story. It'd be a great TV show.
Right.
Watching Walking Dead,
yes.
You could see where it would be a fantastic TV show. This guy traveling the earth, you know, he's the last guy, all yes. chicks. Oh, man.
Getting so much. So
a
much tail.
And pee.
Everywhere.
What are we going to call it, though?
Everywhere. The luckiest man alive.
The last man standing.
It's going to be the last man alive.
Do you know what the Y refers to?
Yorick.
Right, that's his name, but isn't it also like the Y chromosome?
I think so.
Yeah. Yeah, that makes boys.
Oh.
I think so. Is it?
I don't know.
The other way around. Chromosomally speaking, what makes boys?
Y. X is girl.
Two Y chromosomes, right?
Two what?
Huh?
Yeah.
We're out of our depth here, guys. Look, I brought in this book. This is the first collection, book one of Saga.
That's a naughty book.
This is what Brian K. Vaughan has been working on. Have you read this?
I read the first like six issues. Like,
what do you think?
It's very naughty. It's kind of like Star Wars.
But is it like amazing? Everyone's saying it's Star Wars for adults.
It's got a great Star Wars vibe to it.
Guys,
naughty.
A lot of
alien sex and stuff.
I got this at Comic-Con. It still has the plastic on it. I'm so excited to dive into this.
It's sexy time on a
space alien. Ooh, it's naughty. Then I'll learn about how the babies are made.
You're going to know when the babies are made and when they come out, the tears.
Alfred, I don't understand. I peed on this girl's leg. We're not having any babies. Make it make sense. I peed everywhere, Alfred.
She was on top of me doing this.
Alfred, I drank a whole six pack of V8.
I need you guys to stop.
Peed everywhere.
Why?
Chromosome.
Okay. In the world of comics, we're getting out of here soon, guys. In the world of comics, this is exciting. There's going to be a new Wonder Woman origin series prequel. I think it's going to be digital first, written by Renee DeLiz, who's been working on something called like Womanthology, which is I guess an anthology of all
on
female
creators.
Is that
her illustration of her? Because that's awesome.
I think that's her, and I think this is going to be like basically it's the thought at this point is that this isn't going to be DCEU, meaning that it's not going to tie into the film continuity, but it will be sort of that, you know, in that it will give everybody an origin
and get people excited.
Wonder Woman doesn't have like a seminal work like Frank Miller's Year One or like, you know, Man of Steel that John Byrne did in the 80s, kind of like rebooted
that's
Superman's origins.
She doesn't have
so
one of
she
those.
Doesn't have that. So this could be that, and it's by a female creator. Much like the film is going to be directed by Patty Jenkins, a female creator. And this is going to premiere in January. Perfect time, 9 issues. Very cool. Sought about it.
Go for it.
I like it. Okay.
Sought about it?
Excited about it.
About a comic about my daughter Laurel.
Also,
do you want to know who's more excited than you?
Who?
Mary Cotter.
Mary Cotter.
103 years old.
I feel like we're like, what's his name? Willard Scott on the Today Show.
This is how we're ending.
With Smuckers, you know,
so
it's got to be
Connor
good.
So Mary Cotter celebrating her 103rd birthday.
Look at
she
her.
She is obviously a wonder.
Upright.
And when asked for a quote, she had only this to say, I only hope I make it to see Renee DeLiz's 9-part story.
Did she really say that?
No. She didn't.
Oh,
she has no idea. She didn't know where she was. But somebody put that outfit on her, and it looks adorable.
I think she put it on herself.
I don't think so.
Maybe. I don't think she dresses herself. So.
Guys, dressed up in a costume given to her by her friends.
Yeah, but she also had dressed
herself. Someone dressed her up.
They dressed her up like a doll.
And she drove there, too.
She was like a living doll.
Bless her heart, man.
She rules. Anything else you guys want to talk about? Any other comments, chats? I got nothing else.
What else is going on?
I think that we're up. I think that
you just want to get out of here, don't you, Roxy?
No, I just know we've gone over an hour and I have to pee.
Oh my God, we've gone over an hour just BSing. Guys, I'm sorry. I'm Adam Gertler. You can find me. Man vs. Child returns today with new episodes on the FYI Network. Check local times. I think it's 9 p.m. Also, look for me on FX Movie Download on FX. And also
visit with the plug. Yes,
there you go. FX Movie Download on FX. Lots of cool movies coming up. And follow me on the social medias at Adam Gertler.
And also, I just wanted to let you guys know we launched a new show at Popcorn Talk. It's Disney Movie News, which is Wednesday nights at 9 p.m. Pacific time. So you should definitely check that out. And if you want to keep the conversation going with me, you can find me at Roxy Stryer.
I'm at Mike Kalinowski, you guys. Keep the conversation going with me.
I'll do that.
Somebody talk to him.
You can give me lessons about, you know,
particularly
stuff I don't know.
If you're female. I think Mike needs a little female.
And you character. Want to show him about the reverse cowgirl? What?
Whoa! That's how you're going out. Okay. Oh. Hey, thanks a lot, everybody.
Are you volunteering to show me Roxy? Because I don't know what this happened. Is.
Where's that playout music? There it is.
From producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, Christian Harloff, and the entire Popcorn Talk Network. We would like to thank you for tuning in. For questions or comments, be sure to visit popcorntalk.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of the Popcorn Talk Network.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of its owners or principals.